Amen. Today we want to simply consider the topic, the glory of God. Throughout the Bible and throughout Scripture, this understanding of the glory of God is mentioned. In Exodus chapter 33, verses 17 through 18, we hear these words, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name.' Then Moses said, 'Now show me your glory.'" 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 23 through 24. Note, "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the people." David asks a profound question in Psalm chapter 24, verse 8, when he says, "Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle." Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, "And we who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit." And our famous Christian doxology that we find in Jude chapter 1, verse 24 through 25, says, "To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his glorious presence with exceeding joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forevermore. Amen." The glory of God. It's important the definition of this glory comes up, and two primary meanings that we are shown throughout Scripture that are directly related to each other. First, in the Hebrew, which encompasses much of the Old Testament, we see the word glory is kabod, which means splendor or abundance. In the Greek, in the New Testament, we see the word glory is doxa, which means to convey God's infinite, intrinsic worth, or God's substance. The glory of God. When Moses, in Exodus chapter 33, asked to see God's glory, in other words, what Moses is asking to see is the very essence of who God is, the very splendor of God. God tells Moses that he has found favor upon him, that he's going to be with them as they go into the promised land. And Moses, being so in love with God, says, "God, I can't just know your name. I cannot just know a couple of attributes about you. But God, I want to know so much about you that I want you to show me your glory. Show me the very essence of who you are. God, show me your value. Show me, God, your worth. Show me everything that is about you that is important to who I am. Show me, God, your glory." What an extraordinary request for Moses to see God's glory. David asks, "Who is this King of glory?" And then he names two of God's attributes, two of God's extraordinary values. He said, "The Lord is strong and mighty. The Lord is mighty in battle." This King of glory. The question then becomes, why is experiencing God's glory so important? As Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, why is experiencing God's glory, God's value, God's worth, God's splendor, why is this so important to the Christian faith? Well, I believe it is only when we experience the glory of God do we truly know who we are as Christians. I return to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, when Paul says this, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is Spirit." It's important to understand
why Paul says we who with unveiled faces reflect God's glory. If you remember what happened in Exodus chapter 34, as God is giving Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, the Bible teaches us that when Moses came down from the mountain, his face was radiant. It was brilliant. It was shining bright. And when he came in contact with the people, they were afraid of him because he had been in the presence of God, and his face was shining. And so in Exodus chapter 34, it tells us that in order for Moses to come into the presence of the people, he would have to put a veil over his face, because they were afraid of the radiance of the glory that shone from his face after being in the presence of God. Paul comes back and says in 2 Corinthians that we who with unveiled faces reflect the Lord's glory. In other words, Paul is saying that if you want to experience your Christian life, you have to be a reflection of God's glory, a reflection of who God is. No longer can Christians be afraid of the glory of God. No longer can we be afraid to come into God's awesome presence. And whereas Moses had to veil his face because it shone so radiantly in front of the people, Paul says, if you are going to know your identity as a Christian, you've got to come into contact with God's face. You've got to come into contact with God's glory. Why is it so important then that we know and reflect God's glory? It's because our identity as Christians is wrapped up in who God is. How do we know we're Christians? Well, we know we're believers in Jesus Christ because we profess the suffering, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we then understand that we reflect his likeness, we reflect his attributes, thus reflecting God's glory. Well, then the question becomes, what hinders us? What hinders us from experiencing the glory of God? If God's glory is that important, what gets in the way of us experiencing the glory of God? This is very important. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8 tells us this: I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. You see, as believers in Jesus Christ, we often want to suggest that we are so holy, so righteous, that we are the hands and feet of Christ, that we reflect who God is. And whereas that may be true for many of us, one thing that hinders us from truly experiencing the glory of God each and every day is those things that we replace God with. The Bible considers these things as idols. That is, those things in your life that you prioritize and that we prioritize above God. Relationships, finances, material possessions, even some church work that we prioritize above God. And in essence, we make those things our idols, those things that hinder us from actually experiencing the glory of God. But God is saying, if you want to reflect who I am, understand that I don't share my glory with anything. If you truly want to be my child, if you truly want to wear and bear my name, you've got to reflect me. And so what does that mean? What does that call us as believers in Jesus Christ to do? It calls us simply to remove those things in our lives that hinder us from building a relationship with Jesus Christ. It calls us to prioritize. It calls us to prioritize our Christian faith above those things that fulfill our flesh often the most. Experiencing the glory of God calls us to reflect who God is in the world. What does this look like? In closing, what happens? What does it look like when God's glory is actually a part of our DNA? A part of who we are. Well, if any of you all have ever cooked,
anything. If you aren't a great cook like myself, you possibly have experienced burning something in the kitchen. And what happens when you burn something in the kitchen? Immediately you see a large cloud of smoke encompass and fill the room. Everything in the room becomes a part of the smoke. Nothing is separated from it because it fills the entire atmosphere of the room. What happens when Christians actually begin to reflect the glory of God every day in our life? What happens is our light shines throughout the entire world, such that everything that the world sees in us is reflected. That we encompass the entire atmosphere of the world. The difference between a thermometer and a thermostat is that a thermometer goes with the temperature. A thermostat sets it. God has called us to reflect His glory every day. And in doing so, He says, if you're going to reflect Me, what will come from that is a world that's changed for Me. And if Christians around the world, my friends, begin to truly reflect the glory of God, the truth is we won't see half of the problems that we see in our world today. God's glory is critically important to each and every one of us and our walk with Christ. In closing, Jesus prays this prayer for all of us. In John 17:24, when He says, Father, I want those who You have given Me to be with Me where I am and to see My glory. The glory You have given Me because You loved Me before the creation of the world. Not only does Jesus Christ want us to experience His glory, but God says when we do so, the world will be changed for His glory and for His honor. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory both now and forevermore. Amen.